You're listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. From Darwin, Australia, this is your host, Lucy Van Sambeek. Welcome to Talk the Walk. It's great to have you back. Unfortunately, I've had to re-record the original introduction I did with my guest as we were sitting together. I won't bore you with the reasons why this was necessary, apart from say, well, that I am a first-time podcaster and I've still got a bit to learn about editing. So my guest this week is Patricia Mankara, who has been working as an Aboriginal child and family support worker for Relationships Australia's Children's Counselling Program since 2012. She also trained as a group facilitator for the Healing Our Children project. Patricia is a traditional Tiwi woman who has been living and working in Wurrumyanga on Bathurst Island. This week, Patricia is retiring from her counselling work and moving with her two children she cares for to Ramanginning. We actually met completely by accident, which is one of the stories that we shared in this interview. Patricia had no experience working in human services when I first met her. However, she had a real passion for keeping children safe. Over the years, I came to learn that Patricia often opened up her home to children that needed a safe place to stay overnight, or food if they were going hungry. She was a huge advocate for children's safety, from reporting concerns that she had about children in the community, to more recently making some small videos to share with her mob about her concerns regarding children witnessing violence and issues of neglect. I will put some of those links to those videos in our show notes today. I think the work that we started doing together was rather unique in that Patricia was actually sitting alongside me in counselling sessions with the children. We were very much a team doing counselling work together. Because my approach comes from a narrative therapy tradition, we were working together to support children to tell their stories, either through word or art or both. We would debrief whenever we had time, after each session, and Patricia would tell me anything that happened in the session that I wasn't aware of. That included anything that was said non-verbally through body language or verbally in Tiwi language. We had a great thing going on there. And then when I started working on a different project called Healing Our Children, Patricia was also involved in learning to be a facilitator. I hope you enjoy our conversation and the insight into what it's like to be a traditional Aboriginal woman working in a mainstream service. Once again, I apologise for missing our introduction. And we pick up our conversation with my first question to Patricia. So, Patricia, could you begin by telling us how you came to be doing this work in the beginning? What is that story?
At the beginning, I was like, staying home, doing nothing. But I was like non-drinker, non-smoker, and just look after my health and look after my grandson. And as soon as she came along and asked me for this job, and I went to have an interview with you, and you asked me, and I said about this job, working for kids, and had to stay safe in the community with the kids. And I said, yes, I'll get this job. I'll have a go, I'll try.
Actually, it's a very funny story how you came to be accepting that job. I'm not sure if you remember, but I'd put the word out in the community that I was doing job interviews, and I had an inquiry from Patricia. And then when it came to tracking you down, finding you, someone directed me to your house. I knocked on the door, you answered, and I explained, I'm here to interview you, Patricia. Could you come down to the school and we'll do that job interview? And you said, yeah, no problem. And the next minute I noticed you show up at the school, we do the interview, and I'm walking out of that feeling very confident in you. And the next thing I know, there's another Patricia knocking on the door wanting a job interview. And that's when I realised I'd interviewed the wrong person and I'd been directed to the wrong house. But in fact, you accepted the position and you were the best person for the job, so well done. Can you tell us a little bit about your community of Wurrumyanga?
In my community, I live in Wurrumyanga. I see lots of violence, family violence, and child abuse, and gambling. My parents don't care about their kids, and yeah, that's what I see in my community, and I feel like sorry for other kids. Parents not looking after their kids and abusing their child, hit them, and some go hungry. Yeah, that's what I feel here when I see so much in my community.
Mm-hmm. So there's some of the sadder aspects.
Gamble everywhere.
Of living in Wurrumyanga. Tell me about some of the positive aspects of living in Wurrumyanga, because it's a beautiful place where it's situated on the beach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Wurrumyanga is near Darwin, 25-minute flight to Wurrumyanga. It's not far away from here, Darwin. Yeah, just a small community, little island.
Yeah, so how many people live there on the island?
I think 3,000 something.
Can you tell us what attracted you to working with children and families in your community?
I didn't have any idea about this, but I've thought of looking after. I had a grandson, adopted grandson, and how I'd look after him, grow him up right away, and how I'm going to look after the kids in the community, watch out for them. That's why I got this job.
So you were quite passionate about children when I met you.
Yeah.
About the safety of children and protecting
yes.
children.
Yeah.
You would open your house to kids in the community that had nowhere to sort of sleep that was safe. You would invite them in for a meal if you knew they were hungry. And you even took steps to report concerns to child protection when you thought that there were serious issues and concerns
yeah.
with children. That takes a lot of guts. Not everyone is prepared to do that in their community. What is it that drives this passion of yours to care for children and families?
Parents should know how to use money right way, spend money right way, and buy things for their kids. Make sure they have enough food to go to school every day, and all the clothes to go to school need to be clean. Stay healthy, go in school. Yeah.
You were telling me earlier about a story when you took on the care of your grandson. Would this be a time when you realised it was important to protect and care for children?
Yeah, I've grew up my grandson from 6-month-old baby. And now I want to grow, look after other kids too, family members. And how to teach them, grow them, make sure they grow healthy like my grandson.
So what was happening for your grandson at the time when you took him into your care?
It made me change my life. Yeah, I've changed my life and I didn't know this program going. I was just learning, yeah. I've changed my life playing, stopped playing cards, spending money.
So getting this job was also a way of staying strong for you? This commitment to staying away from gambling and caring for children?
Caring for children, yeah. Mm. And how to keep them healthy, you know, stay safe at home.
Yeah. So having a job or having secure employment contributes to the role you have in the family too, doesn't it? Like, it keeps you stronger?
Yeah, my role is non-drinker. I don't drink and smoke and look after my health, keep myself safe, healthy, and my grandson and family too, and other family members. Just to show them what I do, my experience, I try to show my family.
Right, so you're trying to be a role model for
role
other
model for my own family first. Yeah.
Yeah, great. What sort of things do you do that you think is a good influence on them?
All I do is be with my family, sit with my family, sharing, and we go out hunting, I stay home, do like cleaning up, washing, cleaning the house, go for a walk. Sometime I go to church with my family, take my grandson with me too.
Yeah, these are all really positive things, aren't they, that you do in the family that shows people the good way.
Mm.
Yeah. So let's talk about your counselling work and how that happened in the school. So you've been doing that for many years now. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works? What happens at the school when you go there with the counsellor?
When I go to school and like for work, first I talk to the kids, ask them first, are they safe at home or in the outside the community or school? And they tell me about their feelings too, but I keep it to myself. But if something serious, I'll go see the parents, yeah, ask them. They know something happened to the child, so something has happened.
What sort of skills or tools do you use in the session to help kids talk about them?
I use some bear card in Tiwi language.
The bear cards are the strengths cards and they have, you've put Tiwi words
Yeah,
on them.
Full Tiwi words, hard language.
The hard
some
language.
Are hard languages, yeah.
Yep.
And doing math. Making masks,
okay.
How they draw their face, how some kids don't know how to talk, but they just write something or do drawing picture about how they're feeling, draw a face, you know.
Okay, and you make that into a mask?
Yeah, into a mask.
Okay.
And we ask them about the mask.
And I know you've been working with an art therapist at the moment, haven't you, little while? What sort of that? What do they bring to the process of counselling that's been new for you, new learning for you?
Like art, doing art, painting and Play-Doh, making Play-Doh and to all the animals. Or sad face, happy face with the Play-Doh. And I was interested doing that, learning new things. And some kids like to play with an animal, animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in a play therapy kind of way?
Yeah, telling story.
Telling stories, yeah. What might be a typical session with a child? What would that look like?
Most of the kids like TV. They talk about hunting, what's their favourite animals. Yeah, and they drew the drawing turtle and boat and all that,
yeah.
Shark.
So art is used as a real way of helping communicate, isn't it?
Yeah, communicate to kids. Yes,
yeah,
they're interesting
well.
Doing
so
that
you're using
art.
A fair bit of language in the sessions too? Tiwi language?
Some kids, they like talk Tiwi. Some, they don't understand English, but most, they like speak in Tiwi. And I translate it to English to my other staff worker, tell her what they mean, what they're saying in Tiwi.
Great.
I translate it to English.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
So it's so important to have you in the room, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the value of the work is lost, isn't it, really? Yeah, it'd be a real challenge for just a counsellor in the room who is not Tiwi to even be able to do anything close to what you're about able to do together. When you're working together with the counsellor, what makes it go well? What are the things that really work well?
Went well doing making report after the session and writing the note. Every child that I seen in group, and I write their report, how they feel and how I felt working with them, both working. Yeah,
right.
And I write that report later.
Okay. So you're involved in sometimes doing mandatory reports to
yeah.
child protection if there are concerns?
Yeah.
And writing reports about that?
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the group of that work that you do?
I used to do in group. I used to like taking one kid to the other session, then other worker can take the other group, one child.
So if you're running a group and one child needs to go out for some reason,
yeah.
you can take that child out
yeah.
of the room and do something else with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, reading books about their anger. How they're feeling, yeah, I just read a book like that and they can talk like happy,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is this when maybe a child's mucking up in the group or causing a
problem?
Or
in the class.
Okay.
Yeah, with teachers.
Right, you take them out.
Yeah.
Work with them until they're calm again? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I imagine there are some challenges too, that it's not always easy work. Can you talk about some of the hard things?
Sometimes hard for me. Sometimes kids don't come to school. Turn up to school, then we go to see another child and they're not there, and we go running around, look for the parents, and I ask the parents why the kids aren't at school. Yeah, sometimes make me feel like tired. Yeah.
So there's a lot of running around.
Running
kids
around
are not going
everywhere.
To school, which happens fairly often, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Families that aren't working so well.
Mm.
Often kids are missing school, so a lot of chasing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's tiring.
Mm.
Yeah, what else? What are some of the other challenges of the work?
Some kids, they just come and sit down without not talking.
Right, yeah, that's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
When
they just come, we just leave them like that, let them, till they settle down, then they can come and tell us why they act like that.
Right. So what are some of the things, tools that you use to help kids open up when they're kind of closed in?
Just talk to them, give them something like water, make them sit down and talk to them.
So it's about making them feel comfortable?
Yeah, comfortable. Make them feel comfortable when a child like that. We'll let them be. We got to get another child to come in.
Ah, oh, so yeah. Like a bit of a buddy in the room?
Mm.
With them, so it's not quite so lonely.
Yeah.
Mm.
Till he settled down, then he got back to the class.
Right. And I imagine that you're working together with the counsellor, the social worker, to think of a plan, what you're going to do in this situation. Is that right? You kind of work together?
Yep.
Can you think of some other ways that you work together and you're really talking to each other about what you're doing together in a session?
Me and my worker.
Mm.
Like we share a story about the child, what he had tell us, you know. And following week, we can look at that, see if we've got the same feeling, same as before.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
after
we follow
you see
up,
a
yeah.
child, we the got, next time you see them, you're kind of talking to each other about what might be happening for them this week.
Mm, like we keep an eye on that child.
Can you talk about some of the new skills that you've learnt since being in this work and working very closely with social workers and counsellors in the school setting or in your group work or in your community work?
New art activity we do, painting, making puzzles for the kids.
Like jigsaw puzzles?
Puzzle,
how
yeah.
How do you do that?
What their favourite animal, they can draw their drawing. Yeah, then later we put them back together. Try to work out the brain, you know. If the brain working to put the puzzle back, you know. Yeah.
So it gives you some clues as to their level of development by doing this activity?
Yeah.
Something else that just popped into my mind was how important is Tiwi culture and bringing that into the work? And in what ways do you incorporate Tiwi culture into your work?
It's the most important, yeah, to talk Tiwi too, Tiwi language, when we have this session with the kids and they got to learn more Tiwi because they like speaking Tiwi. They don't like speaking English much. And we talk about pushtaka, hunting, and making culture like bandanas, cemetery pole, start to draw the drawing, what their favorite, you know, like, yeah.
So telling Tiwi stories is important?
Yeah, it's important, Tiwi,
yeah.
For the kids, so they can carry on when they grow up, learn in the future. Yeah, they got to carry on that generation. Tiwi language to generation growing, role model enough for Tiwi culture, yeah, little kids.
So culture is really like a protective factor, isn't it?
Mm.
The opposite of a risk factor.
Yeah.
Culture is all about strong kids and strong families and strong community, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, which is the opposite of what you talked about very early on when we started talking today, all the problems that you see in the community. So can you comment on the differences between, say, your work in the counselling room and the social worker or counsellor's role in the room? What might be the differences, or how do you complement each other?
I gave up work for a little while because I was sick. Yeah, I knew I was sick. Just had my heart, another second heart operation. But I wanted to, like, retire. But now I said, no, I want to keep working after this operation. Got to be strong myself and see if that work can help me too with my problem. How to look after myself. Stress.
So work gave you real strength and hope for the future? Like staying engaged with your work is very important in your recovery?
Yeah.
I'll put some links to that blog post that I wrote, that little story that I wrote about you when you were just recovering from your surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about how important the work was to you. So I will put a link to that blog in the show notes if you'd like to go and read that and see some photos of Patricia working in the community. So can you share a good story, a good news story, or something that you're most proud of in the work that you've done? Perhaps you might like to tell the story of a piece of work we did many years ago, which I thought was pretty out there. It wasn't kind of the normal work that we used to do, but I remember we started to work with a 13-year-old girl who had been reunited with Tiwi family after spending many, many, many years away in a foster care situation. And I remember this girl was getting in trouble with the law and drinking and getting up to kinds of some mischief in Darwin, and had come before the courts again, and they basically threw up their hands and didn't know what to do with her. And at that time, Department of Child Families, as it was known then, were seeking reunification with a grandmother out on the island. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that little girl.
And Elaine was very much involved at that time as well, who's an elder out in the community.
Yeah.
And I remember I was going off on quite an extensive break, and I was a little bit worried that the relationship between this Tiwi girl and her grandmother was starting to deteriorate. And I remember saying to the elder, I'm a bit worried, what can we do? And he started to talk about, you know, all the things that she'd missed out on as a girl, being separated from her family.
What she didn't do when she was a little girl.
Yeah, missing the language and missing family.
Yeah, and culture.
She didn't know any language at all, as far as I could remember. So Elaine and I started talking about the possibility of some sort of ceremony, some kind of healing ceremony, because healing is very much important, isn't it? Or it has been in our work. How do we bring about healing to children's lives when they've experienced significant trauma? So Elaine's suggestion was taking her out bush with all the aunties, all the grandmothers, those women that really wanted to welcome her into the family. So that's what we did, isn't it? We
brought her and
all these women into a bus. I remember just driving out there and this girl sitting up the back of the bus with her head down, with her earphones on, not really engaging much at all. Can you explain what happened? What happened out there on the beach that day when we took that young girl out there? Do you remember?
Yeah, we went out bush for healing ceremony for that little girl, and it was good. She felt that spirit, because now we can feel spirit out bush too in our country. Can feel the assistant, family, spirit, and they can heal us too. And nice, beautiful birds singing is mean that those people were helping us how to heal. And she did that, and that little girl, she didn't have that before. She didn't have that while she was growing. Yeah, and she had that feeling, good feeling, she changed. When we went out bush, when we start to heal there with a leaf, special leaf, smoking ceremony leaf. Yeah, and she filled that to the spirit in her.
So you had this fire, you had this smoking fire. Ceremony.
Yeah.
And I remember Elaine also reading some prayers.
We were praying too, and after that she went down the beach. She felt good about that. Then she went down the beach, she started look. She came to me, "Yeah, can you do the painting on my face?" She said to me. And I looked at her too. Yeah, just that's when she started to talk a lot to me. Because I didn't knew her, the little girl too. Yeah, and it was my first time talking to her that day. And she started to call me like auntie. Yeah, that's when I felt happy for her talking, knowing family tree now by then.
So she started opening up to some of the women there?
Yeah, open her mind, yeah. Feeling.
And why was she asking for paint on her face?
To paint her face that she wanted, like, say, "I'm a TV girl. Yeah, I want you to paint my face." This other way that she's saying, "I'm a Tiwi girl, I belong to here. Yeah, my family, and I should think, paint myself like a Tiwi."
Yes.
God will the paint rocks.
And she found a coconut on the beach. Do you remember she wanted to plant that?
Yeah, we planted that coconut, yeah.
As a tree, and it was a bit of a symbol for what had happened that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the ceremony, on the way back in the bus, she was a completely different person, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you notice that was different?
But she went and jumped in that water when we went to the water hole. Yeah, got to feel that water, like healing water, I think.
Right. So were you thinking that she used to have a problem with smoking?
Yes.
And that kind of resolved after that moment?
Yeah.
And things seemed to settle down between her and her grandmother as well. And there seemed to be some kind of family just coming around and supporting her after that ceremony, didn't
they? Yes. She had family, all the grandmothers, aunties.
Mm. It seemed like, to me at the time, a bit of a miracle or a bit of a transformation. And it was a little bit outside the box in that the Department of Children and Families were very supportive of us doing that and were wanting to contribute to that process as much as possible and support that for that girl.
Yeah.
As part of her healing and as part of her treatment.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like a good piece of work between Relationships Australia, the Department of Children and Families, and the community, would you say?
Community, family.
Community and family. Mm. Yeah, I think it was a good piece of work. It was one that I was really happy to be involved in and to really push the fact that healing doesn't always happen just in the counselling room. It happens in the community and it happens within family as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we really need to give more credence or value to having family and communities involved in healing children who have experienced trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the elders step up and take a really significant role in that if we ask them.
I know some, like, each family members we have, I know some of our family got experience too. If we don't have the elders there, we can have experience on our own, for our own family.
Yeah, so can you tell me some of the other healing practices that you do or other people do in the community to help children and families heal?
I need now for myself and my other family members to help. We talk to the kids, family members, kids, not to do the wrong thing.
So what are some of the consequences for children if they do the wrong thing in the community? What do the elders say about that?
We need to talk to the parents. They got to keep an eye on their child, what they do at night. Yeah, that's what I have sometimes, my problem too. Yeah, I look at my other family members, little kids, and when they come to my house, I talk to them. Yeah, stop doing this because I heard you've been doing stupid thing like breaking in. I said that to them. And where's the parents? That's when I get angry if I see their parents. And I tell the parents to keep an eye on your little boy, what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah, don't just sit around at home. Go out, look for your kids. Because to me, I don't like it. If my grandson missing at home, when he's not back at home, like after school, and you got now he have friends with his own age, same age, but I don't let him to follow big boys. Yeah, that's when I get angry sometime.
Right.
Because he doesn't come back home till night time.
So that's something that really stood out to me, is that you don't just do the counselling work with children at school. You're a carer 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, and that makes me stressed too.
Always doing work. Mm. And it makes you stressed, yeah.
Like right now, I got to keep an eye on my grandson because he's a big boy now. Make sure I teach him right.
So self-care is really important in this work, isn't
yeah.
it? Caring for ourselves and making sure that we're healthy and well, otherwise we can't help other people. Can you tell me some of the ways that you care for yourself?
I care for myself. You stay away from problem.
Right.
And stay at home. Go visit family, then come back. Yeah. That's what I don't... That's how I keep myself safe. If I'm staying in my own house, instead of going out, walking every day, go out, visiting family.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to reflect with you a little bit on the work that we did quite a few years ago now, when we did some healing bush camps. That's kind of another piece of innovative work that we did together, taking women and children out bush, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went out bush.
Can you talk a bit about some of the activities or things that we did out there that was healing for people?
We did session with the mums, and it was good, and they were interesting doing that, talking, grandmothers, yeah.
So this is a program that, if you're interested in following up on healing our children and what that's about, I can put some links to that in the show notes as well. It's a program with Aboriginal women who have young children that may have been exposed to trauma or might be living with domestic or family violence, and talking with the mums, bringing mums into a safe conversation about the effects of violence on children, particularly their brain development and how that affects them as they grow up into adulthood. So, yeah, we had some sessions out bush, didn't we? We tried to run it in the town, and we found that women found it very difficult to come along to the program when we ran it in one of the offices there in the town. So we decided, let's take this out bush, let's take the women out with us, and we spent 3 days out there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Doing this program. So I guess one of the learnings for me was about being flexible and needing to be flexible in the work. If something is not working, if people aren't turning up for whatever reason, because it's too difficult to get to, or there are problems in the community preventing them from accessing services, then we have to rethink it, and we have to think about, okay, where can we do this that is going to engage people and is
yeah.
going to be welcoming and comfortable for people.
Bush is more better. We go out bush doing the program there.
Yeah, why is bush better?
That's where we feel peace, quiet, relaxed, and we need to listen to some of the spirit too at bush, like assistant people talking to us, passing new messages to us. Yeah, that's why we need to go out bush to do the program there.
I noticed when that bird was just around just a few minutes ago, you were looking at me with big eyes. I was wondering, is that bird delivering a message? Or?
Yeah, it was the message for you.
Right.
Like welcoming you to their land, country.
Was it?
Yeah, just to look, keep an eye on you.
Oh, right. Well, that's very nice of that bird to deliver that message right now. But there are also other birds, aren't there, too, Can you tell me some of those, or other animals? Yeah. What are some of the messages that other animals send you?
Colt, yeah. It was some kangaroo. Came to our camp, close to our camp. When, yeah, and we knew that there's someone there watching us, yeah, to keep us safe.
Right, we so couldn't that was about
chase
safety
that
as well.
Thing, yeah.
So when new people come to work out on Bathurst Island, it can be a bit of a culture shock for them, can't it? What are some of the things that you do to try and welcome new workers, new social workers? Or
like
new
we
counselors?
Call it to them. We say, hi, hello, in TV language. We explain to them that we got a visitor.
You're talking about the ancestors
yeah.
you're calling out to?
Mm-hmm. Telling them, let them know that we got visitor, look after a friend, she's from another country. Yeah.
So you do a welcome for the person. What else might you do to help that new worker, the new social worker or the new counsellor, be integrated into the community or welcome to the community?
We do a healing ceremony too first, smoke that person, pray, make sure the Holy Spirit guide us to protect us at bush, we're safe from danger.
What are some of the things that new social workers coming to the community might have to keep in mind when they're starting out in the community? What sort of things would they need to be respectful of?
First thing we need, they need like respect our culture and ask the TV people first.
So it's about talking to the right people in the community about what they should be doing?
Yeah.
Are there certain places that they should go or not go?
Like not to go, yeah. If there's a sacred in that community, country.
If I was a new worker coming out to the Tiwi Islands, what would I need to know in order to be respectful to the Tiwi people?
Talk to the elders, let them know, and what to do in their community.
So I should let them know who I am and what
yeah,
I'm doing?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And why you're there and what you do. Make sure you respect our culture way. You need the elders there.
I need the elders there to guide me.
Yeah,
so
to
I'll
guide
need
you.
To spend some time yeah. with them, learning the culture.
Yes.
Learning the ways of the Tiwi people.
Yeah. Some of us Tiwi people who respect someone who come in our community. Yeah, we introduce ourselves to them. And what you're up to, we say. First word, we speak Tiwi to them.
So it's very important that everyone in the community knows who you are and what you're up to.
Yeah.
It's been very lovely talking to you this afternoon, and I appreciate you sharing your experience of working in the community alongside social workers, and also some advice for people who might be beginning this kind of journey working out with Aboriginal people in community. So thank you very much for your stories and your sharing this afternoon. I wish you all the best for your journey ahead.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thanks for listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities. You'll find all the show notes from today's podcast at www.metaphorically-speaking.com.au. I'm on the lookout for inspiring interviewees. So if you or someone you know is walking the talk in their work or community, then I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at lucy@metaphorically-speaking.com.au or visit my contact page on the Metaphorically Speaking website. Until next time, just keep on walking.